Back in 2019, Pope Francis decided that the third Sunday of Ordinary Time would be Word of God Sunday. The intention to be to hopefully enhance our appreciation for the scriptures, the Word of God that God has provided to his people. There's some visual things that were done in most churches, but the most important thing, if you think about it, what is the greatest way that we can show reverence to the Word of God? It has two parts to it. First is the obvious one. What am I trying to say? You know, we need to hear it. And I don't mean just hear it. We need to hear it, which then is part two. After hearing it, what are we supposed to do with it? Do it, to put it in simple terms. And we've got a couple interesting readings that can help give a little emphasis to that. First reading was from the book of the prophet Jonah. Who is he? Old Testament prophet, obviously, because he's in the Old Testament. But there's more to the story than what we got. In fact, for some strange reason, the way they started the reading off, they left out three words from the first verse of it that you would find if you actually went to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. We just got the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And if you look at the scriptures, it will say, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Is there anything intriguing about that? What happened the first time? If you know anything about the prophet Jonah, the first time God's words came to him, telling him to go to Nineveh and proclaim a message that in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed, Jonah's reaction was, yeah, go get them. There's a very profound amount of animosity between the Assyrian Empire and the Jewish people. I mean, they literally hated each other, especially the Jewish people hated the Assyrians because there had been so much malignant interaction between the two peoples so that, you know, Jonah hears this like, yeah, please wipe them out, get rid of them. But God wants him to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, and proclaim this message about, you know, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Because God's wanting to accomplish what? Why do you think God would send Jonah with that message to Nineveh? What does God want? You're making this hard. God's point is he wants them to actually hear this and then do what? What we got in the second, first reading, the first part of it is they heard it and they repented. Did some acts of humility, you know, the sackcloth and the ashes. And so God sees that response and he says, okay, well, this infliction of a punishment on them is no longer necessary because they repented. Jonah did not want that to happen. So the first time God calls to send him to Nineveh, Jonah gets on a boat that's literally heading in the opposite direction. He's trying to escape from it. And so God is going to be giving him a couple of come to Jesus moments. First one of which is as he's on that boat, this immense storm comes up and is throwing the boat up and down, back and forward and sideways and every which way you can imagine. And so much so and so severe that even these seasoned sailors that are sailing the boat are in a state of total panic. They're afraid that they're going to go down. And so they're out loud wondering, you know, who did something that had put us into this state? And Jonah finally has to go, yes, like, well, it's me. I'm not supposed to be on this boat going in your direction. And so, you know, they were nice. They offered to Jonah, say, well, we will go to shore so we can let you off. And Jonah says, hey, just dump me overboard, which they do. And then what happened next? I'm trusting some of you know this story at least a little bit. This great fish comes and swallows Jonah, and he spends 3 days inside the fish. Can you imagine how badly he needed a shower? But then finally vomits him out on the shore, and so that's when we come in here with, and Jonah gets this message the second time, now go into Nineveh and proclaim this message. And his message is really short. You know, it's not like Jeremiah or Isaiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha. You know, these long messages, this really short one, 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed is all he has to say. And after 1 day crossing through the city, They hear it and they respond. And do you know how Jonah responded when he saw Nineveh's repentance? He's absolutely furious. He is so depressed and so angry that he goes and sits on the shore just saying, "Yo, God, please kill me. Because like you did exactly what I knew you would do. They would repent and you would repent of destroying them." And so he's that angry. So he's getting another come to Jesus moment. It's like, now, I told you to do this because this is the result that I wanted. Now I need this result from you. You need to repent, Jonah. So here we are. What are we supposed to do when we hear God's word? What are we supposed to do? If God is trying to give us a message of you need to be doing this and or you need to not be doing this, how should we respond to that message coming from God? Hear it, receive it, do it, and how fast? Gospel passage has another message contained in it. The translations get strange. You know, when this is a newer translation that we use at Mass, and it's been in place now since, I think the mid-1990s. And there are some weaknesses to it because their goal was to come up with a translation that would be more easily readable. I'm not sure what the qualifications were that they were working with, but it unfortunately means that some things get really dumbed down. If you read, like, from the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, when Jesus calls Simon and Peter to come follow him, this just said, and they got up and they followed him. If you go to another translation, it will say, and immediately they abandoned their nets and they followed him. And then when he goes to call James and John, this translation just said, and so they left their father and their nets and their boats behind and they followed him, but they left out that word because literally they immediately abandoned their nets and their father and they followed him. John, Mark has this thing of an urgency and he communicates this by using the word that translates from Hebrew into English as immediately no fewer than 41 times. I think he had a message in there. That's why I think it's a shame they left it out of this translation. So how should we respond to God's word? This component is the when should we respond to God's word? You know, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they didn't go, "Well, yeah, but I'm a little busy right now. Would you come back tomorrow? I got a big thing going on. I have time for this." No, the response is immediate. They respond. They do what Jesus asked them to do right away. No arguing, no dickering, no whining, no moaning, groaning, or complaining. They leave what they were doing and they go and they follow Jesus. So the implication for us is what? When God is talking to us, A, we should listen to it, and B, I'm not sure who I'm talking to here. And that obvious, the next time we should do it, just do it. Now, Jonah's reluctance brought upon him an extraordinary amount of totally unnecessary anxiety, toil, trouble, and tribulation. Now, he literally paid for it. He almost got drowned by this boat going down if he hadn't gotten off and jumped overboard. Literally, he paid for it. Then he paid for it a second time by having that huge, massive pity party after they repented. Because he didn't want to listen. How much of a failure would there have been if Peter, Andrew, James, and John had not responded so promptly to Jesus' call to them? Because there are going to be four of the primary apostles at work once Jesus rises from the dead and ascends back into heaven and sends forth the Holy Spirit. They had in store for them a major role in the beginning, the early days of the life of the church. If they had not responded promptly, what would have been lost? For us, now bring it home and make it personal. if we fail to respond to God's word, when God is trying to show us something that does not belong in our lives that we need to eliminate, and we keep on doing whatever it is we're doing God does not want us to do, then what kind of unnecessary pain and misery are going to bring upon ourselves, and also consequently wind up inflicting on somebody around us? If God is calling us to do something and we fail to respond, we were meant to have some sort of a role, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of someone else. And if we don't act on it, we're not just costing ourselves something, then we're committing a sin of omission and costing someone else something that was meant to come from us for them in their lives. Yeah. I can use myself as an example. God first started trying to call me to do this back when I was in late high school. And I thought, too hard. Too much time. More school? 8 years? Are you kidding? God? Nah, can't be that. So it took me until I was almost 25 years old before, you know, 2x4 number 2 came around and banged me in the forehead and said, okay, now I asked you once before, I'm going to do it again, you know, a second time. Go here. Now, how much opportunity did I lose from late high school to 25 years old? Things that could have happened that, you know, I won't know until I'm standing before God what kind of opportunities were missed because I did not listen. How many of us have similar examples? Don't raise your hand right now. But how many times has God tried to get something through to us? I want you to go here. I want you to say something to this person. I want you to do something for this person. I want you to stop doing something because it's hurting that person. And how much unnecessary loss have we triggered for ourselves and for someone else because of our Jonah-like stubbornness and obstinacy and failure to respond? We don't often contemplate how much of an impact that we have on the lives of others, especially when we fail to listen to the word of God. And when we don't respond immediately, what kind of a cost to ourselves and to someone else? Word of God Sunday, the best way that we can show reverence for it, hear it, assume that God is speaking personally to you, not to Sam or George or Mary or Anna. He's talking to you. He has something for you that he needs you to hear and you to respond to. And when should you respond? What's Mark's favorite word? Immediately. Hear it and do it. You want to revere the word of God and the truth that it contains? Hear it and do it.